Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Big thanks to Gwen for being on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks, Mackenzie, for having me on.
No problem. So you have the Fire Drill Podcast with a co-host that we'll discuss later in the show, and I'm excited to get to know about this because I very much should be listening to your show personally. So I'm going to learn more about that. The first news clip that we have is based on Google. So Google is going to be having a new podcast app out there, or at least that's the rumor. I'm pretty sure it's well known to a lot of people out there at this point that it's coming out, but I just wanted to give you guys an update. It seems a little unnecessary to me personally, but I don't listen to podcasts on an Android, so to some people they might be appreciating this.
Yeah, I think it'll help people find the podcast section of Google Music that's already out. Mm-hmm. From what I read, the app isn't actually like a standalone app. It's just basically a button that takes you to the podcasting section.
Yeah, it's a shortcut, essentially.
Yeah, so I think that'll be good because it'll give people a little bit more incentive to listen, maybe. As an Android user, I'm going to get it, but yeah. I don't know how that's going to look. And I think they'll have a tough time convincing people to switch over from a standalone podcast app that they already know and love.
I think so too. I don't know how many people actually use Google Play Music, like the podcast section, to listen to shows. It didn't pick up momentum. I don't hear people often saying, yeah, I use that. Android users always seem to have their own favorite standalone app. So maybe this will bring in a little bit of people, hopefully people that haven't been listening in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I use the Google Music app all the time, mm-hmm. but I don't use it for podcasts. So yeah. Be interesting if they could suck people in like me.
Exactly. And transfer you over, I guess.
Good luck, Google.
Yeah, good luck. I don't know when this is going to be available. They seem to have the logo for it at the moment, and they did not say anything about an actual date. They just said it hopefully will be relatively soon. So maybe by the end of summer, it'll be there, up and running.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. There is that going on with Google, just in case no one knew. I always like to make sure everyone's up to date with Google, just because they're such a giant in the room sometimes, even if they don't do a ton for podcasting, that I want people to know what they are doing. So next, I wanted to move on and talk to you about your show. You do the Fire Drill Podcast, and it's a finance podcast. So tell us a little bit about that.
So we're a personal finance podcast, mm-hmm. and we talk about various ways to accelerate your path to financial independence where you're not tied down to a corporate job or a 9-to-5 lifestyle. So we interview a whole bunch of people that have really interesting stories on how they either are accelerating their path to financial independence with side hustles, mm-hmm. or how a side hustle took off and became their main hustle and they were able to quit their job entirely and go at it alone. So it's been very interesting to talk to all these people. You get inspired all the time.
You haven't been doing this for all that long. Didn't you start like last summer?
Yeah, we started at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, right mm-hmm. around Labor Day.
Okay, so a little bit under a year, and it seems you've been very successful so far. What do you think has contributed to that? Because based on some of the download numbers I saw you mention on your website, you are doing pretty well for someone who hasn't been doing this for very long and just kind of took a leap and did it.
Yeah, and my co-host is absolutely amazing and really dug down deep into like the strategies of podcasting. So she's really good at marketing. That's what she does for her day job. Mm. So I've been able to pick up some of that along the way, and together we just formed this massive powerhouse. I think a reason for our success is that we are two female podcast hosts, and there aren't very many females. There aren't very many female podcast hosts, no. Much less some talking about finance. And then winnowing it down even further, there aren't any women talking about financial independence. Mm-hmm. So, and in the podcast space. So we saw the opportunity and left for it, and people have responded, and they love listening to us because they're like, you know, it's like we're sitting at brunch or happy hour with you guys and we're listening to this and we're like, yeah, this is great.
I mean, so this is why I should be listening to it, because I am your demographic. Yeah. For sure. So what did you guys do before you started your podcast?
So we, both of us had our own existing blogs with audiences. Mm-hmm. And so we hyped it up with our audiences and with our friends in the financial independence space. And we said, hey, listen, we're starting a podcast. It's coming out Labor Day. Sign up for our email list if you want to get notified when we go live. Okay. And, you know, we just started spamming everybody with like, hey, we're creating a podcast. We're starting a podcast. Get hype, you know. Yeah. We're going to talk all these cool people. It's going to be so great. And just hyped it up big time. And so when we launched, it wasn't a surprise. And we had an audience ready and waiting for us. We
undervalued, I think.
Yeah. I would recommend other people launch with 3 to 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. That way people can get like a taste of what your show is going to be about. Yeah. And then they get hooked.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like when Netflix or Hulu releases the entire season of a show all at once.
Exactly.
And then you spend your entire weekend watching the whole thing.
Yeah, so that I think was a very, very key part of our success from the gate. So.
And how many episodes are you doing on a regular basis? Like once a week, twice a week?
We do twice a week.
How are you guys able to, like, are you interviewing people? Or are you just discussing this amongst yourselves, and what's your format?
We interview people pretty much for every episode. Okay. Sometimes we have special episodes where it's just her and I, but for the most part, we have a guest on and we talk to them about their story and what they're doing and try and learn from what they're doing. So hopefully at the end of the show, a listener could walk away and go, oh, I think I could get started on that. Or at the very least, they know where to start.
Wow. Okay. So how are you able to keep up with 2 episodes a week?
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, I do this one as part of my job every 2 weeks, and it's tough sometimes.
Yeah, we record a ton, and we have very patient significant others who mm-hmm. let us take up all of the time and yell at them for being loud in the background. And
you've got a supportive tribe.
It's actually interesting because people want to be on our podcast. You know, we have people who pitch us all the time to be on. So mm-hmm. Finding guests isn't hard, but finding quality guests that our audience want to listen to, that's the tricky part.
Yes. I feel like I am in the same boat sometimes.
Yeah. So, and actually now that it's summer, we're having a tough time finding people. Like we get people like, yeah, I'm so interested. I'll be on. And we send them a link and we hear absolutely nothing back.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, we need people to be on. So
schedules go out the window once June hits, I feel like sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting people, but we usually have a nice backlog of like 5 to 6 episodes.
Oh, that's
just because that's what makes us feel comfortable. But we're had a couple of times where we're like, oh, we have like 3.
Yeah. The other day, our other podcast for Blueberry, the podcast called Your Podcast, hosted by our CEO and our tech support guy, we're talking about when partners are doing a show together, kind of how you come to an agreement about responsibilities and ownership and anything along those lines that could come up, and like when you should talk about that and how you should handle it. So did you guys talk about that beforehand? I mean, dealing with finances, I feel like that's something that you might have touched on.
Ideally, you would come up with a plan beforehand, mm-hmm. But that's not what we did. But okay. I don't recommend doing what we did because that led to a lot of strife and conflict before we figured everything out.
Okay.
So, yeah. So definitely like have a plan on who's going to cover what and really hammer home whose responsibility is what.
Right.
Because that takes all the conflict out. Like if something goes wrong, then you can say, well, this is why I didn't go right.
Right. And say, hey, I need help on this because I know this is my responsibility and I know I need to actually ask you to help me. Otherwise, it's just not going to get done.
Yeah. Well, and then it leads to a feeling of resentment from the one who's picking up the slack. Mm-hmm. And that's not good in a partnership. So yeah, I treat this partnership like it's my second relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like I have the one with my boyfriend and then I have this one with my co-host, and they're both equally important to me at this point.
Definitely. I think that is kind of the way that you have to think about it, especially when you're doing shows that often. You don't really have a choice because it's so easy to fall behind. I mean, you said that you have like a backlog of about 6 that you feel comfortable with, which totally makes sense because that's how, I mean, how you're doing episodes twice a week. So that's not even a month that you would be covered. So
yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have a really great editor, but we try and get the episodes like completed so he can put them together ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So that way he's not running under the wire. We're not running under the wire and everything's just a lot less stressful.
Yeah, definitely. A plan is very essential sometimes. So what are some things that you do with your community to keep people like active with the show? Because I feel like people have questions about that all the time. How do they get more involved with their audience? How do they get people to respond to them? How do they, you know, actually get people to talk to them? Because they feel like they're putting this stuff out there and then they're not hearing back. So what do you guys do that you feel works?
Well, we're pretty involved on all social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So my favorite platform is Twitter.
Okay.
So we send out tweets asking for like feedback on the recent review. Like, hey, did you see this latest episode? What'd you think? Let us know. You know, okay. we're asking for that interaction. We're not just like, here's the new episode.
Right. Right. You have to actively get people to do things because a lot of the time, the only time they're going to do something is out of spite. And, you know, it's those people that leave bad reviews because you kind of have to motivate people to leave the good one because a lot of people like it. They just won't say anything.
Totally. Yeah. Call to actions are big, you know, giving the exact instructions on what you want them to do is very helpful.
Yep.
And then also we have a thriving Facebook group now. I'm pretty happy with how that's growing.
Good.
And so we have people in and it's a closed group, so they have to ask for permission to join. And then they are supposed to answer 2 questions. Mm-hmm. And the first one is, how'd you hear about us?
Okay.
And then the second one is, can we have your email address for our email list?
Pretty simple.
No pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. But it helps us figure out where people are coming to us from. So for instance, if financial independence gets mentioned in the news, then we get a bunch of requests to join.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Because they're like, oh, I heard you and I read about financial independence in the Money article. And then I searched for it and your guys' group popped up, which that's very helpful. And then once a week, we have a new members post where mm-hmm. we said, hey, here's everybody that joined in the last week. Welcome to the new members. If you don't know that we have a podcast, here's the links. Go listen. And then secondly, we ask them, what do you want to hear from us?
Yeah. Actually, you bring up a good point of, if you didn't know we had a podcast other than what you're already associated, like whatever you got to us for in the first place, we also have this because you can't just assume people know. That's how you lose out on potential listeners.
Totally. Yeah. And a lot of people actually come to us from other Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Facebook groups says, hey, you're interested in that one. Why not be interested in this one too? And they're like, oh, that looks interesting. I'll join. And they're like, oh, I had no idea that you had podcasts. I don't know anything about you. I'll go listen.
Good. I'm glad you're like you're reaching these other outlets and realizing the potential that you could be missing out on. I feel like some people don't know what they're not doing, of like what they are capable of doing.
You don't know what you don't know until you don't know it.
Yes, basically. Basically. So, what has been one of your favorite episodes so far?
Ooh, that's tricky. We like to do special episodes mm-hmm. around holidays. So New Year's Eve, we did a special one that was like twice as long as normal and invited one of our girlfriends from the space on. And we all had drinks, mm-hmm. a bottle of wine or some eggnog that was loaded, perhaps a little bit too much. And then we just talked about like personal finance stuff for an hour and a half. and had a blast, and people loved that episode.
Yep.
They really connected with it because they're like, you know, I felt like we were just sitting around in a upscale bar drinking and laughing and having fun with my girlfriends. And mm-hmm. they're like, we loved it.
Mm-hmm. They want to feel like they're a part of it sometimes.
Yeah. And then we had another one for Valentine's Day where we all got a bottle of wine and talked about relationships mm-hmm. and financial independence. And that one was really good too.
Oh, that definitely. That is a big one that I feel like people would appreciate.
Yeah. And there's nothing like going into a rant about prenups over a bottle of wine.
That's true. So you are using Blueberry, which we very much appreciate. And you're using PowerPress, I believe. So how did you, like when you guys were getting started, how did you make a decision? What kind of research did you do?
Actually, I have no idea how we just did Blueberry. My co-host said, hey, we're signed up with Blueberry. And I said, cool. Sounds great.
That's exactly
so far, it's worked out really great. We really like you guys. So we haven't moved.
Yes. That is exactly what happens. We feel like that's part of the reason why I ask this is because whenever we're thinking like, okay, well, who are our customers? We're like, well, when it's a multi-person podcast, usually only one person is handling the type of stuff that we deal with. And we're like, okay, well, then we transfer that into how can we make services that other people would be, you know, comfortable using to kind of fulfill all of the needs that people will have. So very happy that you're using us and that you haven't had any issues so far. We appreciate that.
Yeah, it's been great. And every time in the few times that we've had issues, we've reached out for support and things have been resolved really quickly. So fantastic. Very happy. We don't have any plans to move anytime soon.
Fantastic.
As far as I know.
Yes, very true. So do you, okay, you mentioned before we started recording that you guys are in different locations. So has that ever been an issue for you trying to get things done? Like,
yeah, sometimes if something goes wrong, then I'm usually the first person to wake up because I'm in the middle of the country and she's on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So if something goes wrong, I have to check first thing in the morning to make sure everything went well.
Right.
And if it didn't, I'm the one that fixes it. Or if something goes wrong at the last minute, I'm already asleep and it's her job to fix it before something goes wrong.
Yes.
And so that's led to a lot of late nights for her and a lot of time in the mornings for me trying to figure out like what went wrong.
Why are we dealing with this at midnight?
Yeah, we're also limited by her schedule when she gets off work. Mm-hmm. So we usually record between 8 and 10 my time at night.
Okay.
Which is pretty late for me, especially when I had a full-time job and mm-hmm. had to get up early the next morning. And mm-hmm. then sometimes we have guests from the East Coast on, and it's like 11 o'clock their time by the time we get done. And we're like, we're so sorry for keeping you up. And they're like, no, it's great. But like, seriously, we're zombies sometimes at the end.
I understand. I've done a podcast for someone that was in LA before and I did it at midnight because that's the only time that all of us could get together. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess I'll just do it because I'm home.
So yeah, it's pretty brutal.
This is what we got to do.
But it's a lot of fun. So I keep doing it.
What is your favorite part of doing the podcast?
I think it's knowing that I have such an increased audience for my message, mm-hmm. I guess. I have a blog and I spread the word about financial independence there, but like with the podcast, my reach is like 4 or 5 times greater than it is on the blog.
Right.
And so knowing that I'm impacting people's lives feels really great to me. And I want to help people settle up their finances and feel steady. And I can do that so much better through the podcast.
That's amazing. Remind us what the podcast is called and where they can find it and all of how to get people to listen.
Yeah. So it's Fire Drill Podcast and we are on pretty much every podcast host that you can imagine, mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, everything.
Okay, good. Good. So
you can find us wherever podcasts are sold.
Very true. So quick question. where did Fire Drill come from?
So it's a play on the Financial Independence and Retire Early acronym, which is FIRE. And so we were coming up with ways to play around. We're like, what about like Fire Drill? And that was done. That was it. That's okay.
I
got it.
I like it. So, I think that is so much more creative than it could have been.
Well, and also there was the whole Financial Independence podcast is kind of already taken. So we're like, dang it.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay.
Got to get creative.
Yes. So thank you for sharing about your show. And I had another news topic that I wanted to talk about with you. And this one is about podcasting advertising revenue, which kind of surprised me, to be honest, this year.
That it was so high or so little?
So high. And I mean, it's a good surprise, that's for sure. So IAB, the Interactive Advertising Bureau, along with another organization, recently released this information based on their research saying that they reached $314 million in revenue in 2017, which is 86% more than the year prior, which got $169 million. That's a lot.
That is a 10. And as a podcast who would like to get in on that, I can only hope that it's going to go up from here.
Right. Well, they did put in some very good estimates about that as well. They said triple digit, 110% growth is expected between 2017 and 2020.
Boom.
So that's
right there.
Yeah.
I mean, excited to see where the future of podcasting is going to go, because I think we're just getting started.
I think so, too. I think the past 5 years have been significant in changing podcasts for the better. I get this all the time because Blueberry started in 2005 with the beginning, and a lot of people know that, and we've had the same core group for a long time now, but I come in with a different perspective of I've been listening to podcasts for, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years now, most likely.
Wow.
But I never was involved in them or even thought about doing one of my own until I got here and they said, here, you're doing your own. And that was even as someone that literally I majored in media. So 4 years of college majoring in media, and it never occurred to me, do your own podcast. So I think, and I graduated in 2014 from college. So the idea of, or just seeing people realize, oh, hey, we could do this, is kind of mind-blowing to me. And to see the revenue from it, when I was very much taught about revenue involved with every other medium, is just, I don't know how to quantify it sometimes.
Well, and I don't think anybody knows how to quantify the revenue, because we're a completely different model from like radio and television and all that. So like, yeah, you do the CPM, but like, is that really how we should be doing it? Like, we're influencers. We're not just podcasters.
Exactly.
Like, we're more than just our downloads. And the fact that we have a thriving community around the internet should really cause sponsors to open their eyes and be like, maybe there's something more here.
I know. It does feel very similar to me with people being sponsored on things like Instagram and Snapchat, because that is, they don't have any clout over those people. Like, they're not a tangible thing, but they have a certain number of followers, and then they see the ad revenue coming from this. And I think that, a lot of people get looked down on for the sponsorships in those type of situations, but they wouldn't be getting all of that money if these companies weren't getting something out of it as well.
True. Yeah. I think there is a bit of a stigma, like, oh, you sold out to be to get an advertiser, or to get a sponsor, but like, it's completely, and there's some of that stigma too for podcasters, but people assume that you're doing it anyway, so why not just do it?
Yes. Yes.
Like, you're already making money off of this, right? And we're like, actually, not really. And they're like, what? We thought you were.
No.
It's like, well, why don't we just do the things that make us money anyway, then, if people think that we're already doing that?
Exactly. And I feel like this needs to eventually spread over all the different genres involved. They said the top four content genres out of the 14 ones that they looked at, so basically the categories, they said that four of them generated over half of the advertising revenue in 2017.
Ooh, so what were those four?
Arts and entertainment had 17%, technology had 15%, news, politics, and current events had 13%, and business had 11%.
Hmm.
So that's a big gap.
It's a really big gap.
Because I'm interested in all four of those. I listen to shows in all four of those categories. So where's all the money for all the other categories?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too, that really bugs me is that advertisers don't want to talk about sponsorships until you have a certain threshold mm-hmm. in downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make sense to me because what's the stat? Most podcasts don't get over like 50 downloads per episode or something like that.
Yeah. It's if you're getting over like 100, 150 downloads for your podcast, like give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing great.
Yeah. And then they don't even want to talk to people unless they're getting 5,000 downloads per episode.
Yep. We haven't done a lot since I've gotten here, but in the past, that was one of our main things that we did was advertising. And we have, from day one, always done deals with the smaller shows because we realized, like, let's do a lot of shows that have small audiences as opposed to one show that has a ginormous one.
Exactly.
Because and small shows will be loyal.
Yep. And I think sponsors need to wake up and see that. But until then, they're going to go after the shows in the top 5% and just keep going after those. And it's silly.
Over and over and over again. So I can buy my Nature Box bars and then I'll go home and get my Blue Apron meal. And then I'll sleep well at night on my Casper mattress.
And don't forget about the fact that you did all your business in FreshBooks.
I did all of my business in FreshBooks, and I'll sleep safe at night with my Simply Safe security alarm. And I can go on and on and on. I know all of them.
Yep.
So, okay, overall, they said that direct response ads, which are the cost per thousand, made up the majority of campaigns, and then brand awareness ones were after that, but the most popular one was host read ads, that was 2/3 of them in 2017, which is good because host read ads are typically the ones that are most enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Half the time you're like 15 seconds into a 30-second spot and you're like, oh, this is an ad.
Yes.
Didn't even realize this was an ad. Oh, okay, cool.
If it is done well, that will be your reaction. If it is not done well, you're going to be able to tell very quickly what is happening.
It's true.
I mean, there's been a couple that I knew word for word that I knew exactly when to skip and when to hit skip again because I knew it wasn't going to be over. So.
Shh, people don't want to hear that.
Yeah, word to the wise. Do your podcast advertising better sometimes.
Yep.
Big things happening in podcasting at the moment.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yep. They're saying that 1 in 5 Americans between the ages of 18 and 49 listen to a podcast once per month, at least once per month. So, I mean, that'd be great if that was like once a week, but
not. You know, I've seen from my friends on Facebook, you know, my regular friends that I've made throughout my life, not from the podcasting space. I see them now asking more frequently, hey, anybody have any podcast recommendations? What do you think I should listen to?
Yes.
And before that, people were like, oh, you listen to a podcast, you nerd.
I know. That used to be the reaction, and that is definitely not the reaction anymore.
Yeah, well, and there's so many great podcasts out there
mm-hmm.
that if you're listening to a bad podcast, there's no reason to, like, go find a good one.
I know. Sometimes I just kind of cleared mine out a little bit ago of all the ones that I had downloaded in my app. And I was like, you know what? I gave this show a shot and downloaded a bunch of episodes that I thought might be good based on the show notes. And I just don't like this podcast. So I'm like, I'm not going to listen to it.
And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. So that's a good wrap up of what is happening in podcasting right now. There's a lot of money. You have a show about money, and Google is finally trying to involve itself once again.
Oh, Google, get with the times.
They really, I have some qualms with Google about their involvement in podcasting.
Or lack thereof. Yes. For the last 10 years.
Yes, it's the lack thereof that happens. So, okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We've got a PowerPress tip from Sean Thorpe coming up next, and then I'll be back in 2 weeks. Gwen, thank you so much for being on, and everyone check out the Fire Drill podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye, guys.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. By default, PowerPress displays a media player on your website with every podcast episode you publish. You can actually choose which media player PowerPress uses and, in some cases, even customize the look of your media player. Hover over the PowerPress link in the left-hand sidebar of your site's dashboard and click the Audio Player link in the pop-up menu. On the next screen, you'll be presented with four different media players, each with an Activate and Configure Now link next to its name. Clicking that link will make that media player active on your site, and it'll also take you to a new screen that shows that player's configuration options. First up is the Blueberry Audio Player. This player is for Blueberry Media Hosting customers only. On the configuration screen for this player, you can change the colors of the player's buttons, background, and font. You can also switch between light and dark themes, and you can set the player to use episode-level artwork instead of just your show's overall artwork. Next is the MediaElement.js player. MediaElement is the default PowerPress media player because MediaElement is built into the core of WordPress. The configuration screen for this player gives you an option to set the player's maximum display width, but it's best to leave that option blank, as adding a width value could change how the player looks in some web browsers. It's worth noting that the MediaElement player can be highly customized through CSS, but that's more of a core WordPress functionality than something provided by PowerPress. The penultimate player is called the HTML5 Audio Player. This player is fairly basic, but you can swap out its default play button for a custom image of your own if you'd like. Finally, we have the One Pixel Out Audio Player. There's a note below this player's title stating that the player would be removed in PowerPress 7.1. That hasn't actually happened yet, but at this point, you should only really select the One Pixel Out player if you have a very specific reason to do so. One Pixel Out is an older media player that relies on Flash. Flash players usually don't work on mobile devices, and for the most part, Flash is being phased out across the web. It's really best to just avoid using One Pixel Out at this point. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean, at blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.